like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning reel.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to draw your attention to this Sunday's talk. And what's the date today, producer? The 9th. 9th of Friday? What month is it? October, okay. What year is it? That's 15. I'm talking to my producer. 2015. So, in case you hear this again when I'm dead and gone, you see, it is next Sunday, but you can get it if you go to FHU.com and look it up. It's The Magic of Simple Truths by yours truly. It's a two-hour talk, but it's video and with very active discussions. And that's what I like to have here. Active discussions gives life to my program. If I don't have active discussions, I have to pontificate, which is, well, I can say it, but it's not as beautiful as two people talking together. So this Magic of Simple Truth by yours truly, this coming Sunday, I gave you the what day it is, so it's only a couple of days because it's Friday. So the coming talk is very practical because it's about little things. Little things make a difference between life and death. It's about the subtleties of love and how the way you speak and the way you present yourself, your being, your energy field, can have endless repercussions or very good results for the rest of your life. You will hear why 50 to a million people died, because citizens didn't attend to the little things. Each one of you needs to be a messenger. You need to be a preacher without preaching, just who you are. And that's what it's all about on Sunday. So it's a messenger who shares what it means to hold your ground and how the pure energy field emanating through and from you can reboot your relationships and retrieve your real life, which at this moment most of you do not have. You know that music, the one, what's the name of that piece of music? The windmill of your mind goes round and round and round, and no matter how much you try to stop those thoughts, it goes round and round and round and round, and a thinning, spinning wheel, if I can remember the lyrics of it. But it is you get threadbare until there's nothing left, no energy, because it's not coming through you. The life that you're looking for is not coming from you like a cat or a dog. No, it comes from a higher source. The cat and the dog and the mouse and the flea all get their inherent programming and perhaps can learn a little bit extra through evolution, I suppose, whatever that is. So, but the point is that it needs to come through you. From you is to make you an animal, an imitation of other people, and reacting to their spoken words. But what if I told you that there's another dimension into which you will hopefully come, as Jesus did, if you can learn to deal perfectly with imperfect people? See, so then you're not the one that speaks. Oh, it sounds like it's you thinking. It sounds like you expressing yourself. Listen, I'm speaking from that place now, and I can see myself, my mouth opening and closing, and words coming out. But I'm not thinking about what to say. That's the difference between a person who thinks about what he's going to say when he says it, or thinks about doing what he's going to do. That's because he doesn't have intuition. But it's just as, it looks the same, except there's a lot of rigmarole going on in your head. Do I turn to the left? Do I turn to the right? Did I do the right thing? What am I going to say to them when I see them? No planning. But you can also be so angry, bang. All that anger comes out and you don't know what it's all bottled up inside coming out of you. My God, what harm you do. And what harm can come to you from that. So may I suggest, please, this is a very good Sunday morning conversation. You can listen to it all week, but it's nice on Sunday because it's a Jesus day. Okay, I'm Roy Masters. We'll be right back with our calls. Thank you.
Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I want to take you where the light has never shone. You see, you know, you're living in a dungeon, and you've never seen the light. Let's assume that's the case. But you heard about a light because you got a light, a candlelight, in your dungeon. And you're born there, and you heard about the light and the sun shining. And you got pictures so you could see green leaves and flowers and things like that. But what a difference it is when you come up, but once you're released and say, you can go home now. And that's a nice way of saying it, too. All of a sudden, you come up to the real life, the life of the animals, at least, and the life for your animal self until you become spiritual, spiritualized through your experience, or despiritualized in a negative sense. But let's talk about the positive. Just look at the difference between the real sun, and it feels warm, and you see the smell of the flowers and the atmosphere. How enriching it would be if you came out of the darkness. Now, it's the same thing. If you be still, if I could show you the real meaning of be still and know I am God, and you ain't, and there ain't any others outside you, which you do have as a driving force. What I'm trying to say is just to introduce you to what I'm trying to get at on this program. For new listeners, at least, I'm saying that there's two ways. Let me just use the word something. Something uncanny, or something beautiful. Something evil that you may not see as evil. And they both look the same, because they're coming out of... You're speaking, or somebody is speaking, with one of those two options, which you may not know as an option because you're born into a culture and to which you respond to the words and the authority behind the words since you're a little boy or little girl. And that takes away your freedom. The professor who is very good in English, but is all knowledge, no common sense. And where there's all knowledge and no common sense, there's a darkness. As a matter of fact, the study of knowledge, even if it's good knowledge, but the focus on it, the remembrance of all the verses and chapters, the applause you get for looking like you are a priest or a rabbi or a minister or a professor in a university, you give that respect to the cleverness of words. But do you understand what it's saying, and how do you know you're not being deceived? What is going to give you the art of perceiving deception and fake love? Because that's what evil is. It deceives you. And if you don't have a connection to the real will that created the universe, then you are responding, you cannot help but to respond in a negative way and being pulled away from that pure energy field through which, what which speaks, that's not very good, is it? That speaks through you. Sometimes I find words very hard to say because the concept is mystical. And it's very hard in a manner of speaking if I can use the word difficult. Sometimes I have a little difficulty with the way the spirit passes through my spirit, my soul, and into my brain and collects the information, the English language, which I don't have any other. But it could be Spanish, it could be Hindu, it could be anything. But it turns it into perception, because the perception doesn't need any words. It doesn't. It sees through the energy of the field that's radiating towards you, like cruelty, meanness. But what if you were radiating differently? What if you were radiating at counter-radiating the adversary? So you don't hate the herder. You overcome evil with good. See what I'm saying? But I'm bringing something into play that nobody tells you. There's an energy field from within you that has information. Not outformation, but information. See the difference? I understand these words. Do you have a will? Yes, you say. Ask me if I had a will. I say, no, a will has me. And if you look carefully, a will has you. And it you think it's you talking. But it's making all the mistakes. It's minus intuition. So therefore, you can't see your own mistakes. You think what you are brought up is normal. You are either a thief or robber, or you're goody-goody two-shoes that goes to college or school every week, or goes to church every week for a little lift, and then, you know, the whole next week is same old, same old. And I say to you, this is not just important to each one of you as a person, but as a nation, if you don't have intuition, you will elect the wrong president to which you are now inured, hopelessly entangled, both spiritually and nationally. We give these, we as a free people give our power to this one person. And once you give it, you can't hardly take it back. Or can you try to take it back? Go ahead and try. There is something in the Constitution that says we have the right to take our stand, but we won't go into that because that's just simply political. But in a manner of speaking, citizens need to be noble. And you can't be noble. You cannot be noble just as an animal has no intuition. You can't learn being noble because that's artificial. That is hypocrisy. You're sort of like English tough, I say, old boy. And you use your words as a battering ram, as a weapon to the people who are less educated and keep them down, just with words. See, but with the energy that comes with it, with the aristocracy, the energy, the looking down your nose, and perhaps the money too, but more so, it's the words that cut through you. And when I was in the military, I could tell you some very funny stories, which I won't do that right now. If you want to ask some of the stories about my military experience, how I zonked out the sergeant, the instructor. I mean, I drove him up the wall. He wasn't going to take my identity away, like the other guys, screaming and yelling at them. You know how they do that? They do it to make you mechanical. I will not be mechanical. I made it very clear that I wouldn't be mechanical. I will say, yes, sir, we'll do it and do it, but I won't do it because you upset me. I won't do it because you said it, and it shocks me into doing it because I gave in to you in the time that was being recruited and taught. See, I kept it. And there's a story about that. I won't tell you about that right now unless you want to call me. But let me talk to Sean later. Let's go to Leah first. Good. Sean was a very nice caller yesterday, and he's just a very interesting discussion we had for a whole hour. And he has a few more questions, but we need to give somebody a chance first, and then he can listen. He doesn't mind. He's a good guy. Thank you very much, Sean. I'm going to go to Leah in Pennsylvania. Hello, Leah. What can I do for you?
Hello.
Hello.
Masters. Hi.
Hello.
I have a question.
Okay.
Hi.
I'm listening.
I noticed you read a lot on your program, and if I may, before I get started, to read something to you, it's very brief.
To read is what?
It's a quotation by Gilbert Parker.
Yeah.
And it has me, like, in question, like, when I'm doing my meditation, your meditation, the antidote for all.
Yes.
The quotation is real quick. It's like, it says, there is no refuge from memory and remorse in this world.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of our foolish deeds haunts us with or without repentance. What does that mean?
It's actually beautiful. He's right, but it's a huge mouthful. But you're not calling me about that. According to my screen, I've had a hard time forgiving myself.
Yes, that's true.
Is that the question? So I don't want to discuss the subject matter that you just mentioned about this person who gave you this little splinter of truth. It was very good, well said. But it doesn't help the program if you just quote something for me, unless I choose to, you know, it fits into what I've been saying. So now, first of all, who is the power? Are you a Christian lady? Are you Christian?
I can't say, I don't know.
You like the Bible?
I'm not sure. Yes, I do.
You do like the Bible. Oh, that's nice. Okay, that's good. There's some good stuff in it. So, but here you said a hard time forgiving myself. What I need to say to you is this. Only God can forgive. And only God can judge. And so you've got to be very careful about those two, because either one is playing God. So let me start with the one that's obvious. When you get angry at someone, or someone gets angry with you and looks down their nose at you with an intent to put you down and upset you, and so you give in to that judgment, that is that person playing God and you allowing for it and yielding to that godless God. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So now, let me say you get so angry and you think to yourself, anger makes you feel guilty, because you are guilty because you listen to the godless God, not the God that would have you not react to that. See, you couldn't make Jesus react to anything. You couldn't make him. He stood in front of that crowd of people and saved that girl's life, the one that committed adultery, accordingly, and said, "Who is without sin, cast the first stone." What brilliance and what courage. Calm as a cucumber. See, that's because he had something in him that wasn't him, it was God acting through him. And God, Jesus never took the credit. He said, "Why call me good? There's nobody good but God." And he does the things that that I do, it's not me doing it, it's him acting through me. And so you understand there's a greater Lord than the person that's judging you, or you are judging that person. Because the tendency is when you start to get upset, you take a little bit of that lordship in your submission to that pressure. And so you're stuck there, but you find that you become like the person you hate. And then you start to turn on other people and look down their nose at you, look down their nose at them. Or you can turn around and forgive them for hurting you out of guilt. But then you're playing God again. You're playing God again. But don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, so Leah, I didn't mean to speak so quickly. Did you catch any of that?
Yes, I did.
Play it back. Play something back that you caught.
Well, what I caught was all my life, I like a ticking time bomb. I was angry all the time, and
yes.
I couldn't suppress it because, like, I remember you saying, the more you try to struggle, it's like being a swamp, the
yes.
quicker you sink.
Yes.
And I never did stay still enough to just kind of, like, watch my emotions rise and my anger rise, and I just lost control. Every time I lose the battle.
And that's called judgment, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. That is playing God. That's actually throwing your energy and your uppity-ness, your power, but somebody weaker than yourself, and letting go that pent up anger at something weaker than yourself, and it could be your children, and you wouldn't be able to stop it because children can't fight back. That's why so many children are suffering, because the whole system. You go to work and you get angry, and you turn around and the foreman takes it out on what. The owner, teases him, and then he turns his anger on the workers. The workers go home and get upset with the wives get upset with the children, and each one does the other person in. See that? And there's always the one, the one that is on the end of that trail, and that person. That is more broken than all the others. But at the same time, it's possible for all of those people I just mentioned to realize that it's doing unto others what was done to you. And so when you're doing unto others what was done to you, you can't help but take on the nature of the person that's doing it to you, and either stay stuck with a person that's bullying you and giving in and giving in and giving till there's nothing left, or you turn around and find some way to unleash the anger you gave and to get the life force of somebody weaker than yourself, even if it's your own kids, you cannot stop. That's how powerful it is. So we're all playing God, and we're playing God when you feel so guilty about being angry that the good side of you. See, there's a good side of you, but you're still lost. It makes you feel guilty for being angry, so now you turn your judgment into forgiveness. And so now you think to yourself, let's say it's the same person that's upset you, and then you're angry, and all of a sudden something tells you that, maybe he's right, maybe I'm wrong, and you're not, because you stood up for yourself, but you didn't know how to deal with it. So, but it convinces you that the anger is a guilt thing. It's a judgment of that person, but it has no expression. He overcomes you. And so therefore it turns into something different. It turns into forgiving him, which means you're enabling him to be a bigger pig. See that? A bigger God. And he does, and it turns out, and he likes it for a minute, but then he's addicted. Now you've given him the power to hurt you more. And to knock you down and make himself feel superior to your misery and your suffering. It's an evil thing, but it doesn't mean to say you are evil, or that the one who forgives is evil, plays God, or the one that judges who plays God. They're not evil, they can't help themselves, but they're playing those roles of Paradise Lost.
It sounds like a vicious cycle.
It is. Everybody has it. Everybody has this, one or the other or both. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't have that. And that's the reason why we cry for some kind of relief, drugs, alcohol, whatever. Drugs, alcohol, medicine, sex, anything that would take away even more anger. Even more anger. Because anger is like a drug. When you get angry, you're becoming a judge, and so much more powerful when a person is squealing and in agony, and the pleasure of seeing that gives the bully a high and brings him down to a low. No. See, every high is a new low. And when you feel like you've forgiven somebody, you got another high because you're forgiving him and you feel good about yourself forgiving him, and all of a sudden you get beat up. Or the person will accept your apology and your servitude and keep you a slave. And you'll feel like a slave, but you can't mention it. You can't figure it, and you keep giving and giving and giving until you're, especially when you're married, until you have a mental illness, a disease. Because as a man thinks, so is he. And all of that is giving too much. You're all dying from giving too much or taking too much. See that?
Yes.
So, since we got medicine, we've come from maybe 200 diseases every year that kills people to 170,000. So there's now 170,000 ways to die and never having lived. Am I making sense? You have to give up both of those, don't you? Go ahead.
Your meditation, when you were talking to Sean before me,
yes,
I experienced something similar. I can feel the tingling in my fingers one by one, but when it comes down to the sparkling pixels and when I look at my eyelids, it's just totally dark.
Yes, but that isn't good. But it will go away. Oh, I can remember a lady who has a diabetes, and she couldn't walk. And she needed people to help her down because she lives on upstairs and the slightest flight of stairs is necessary and needs some help. So she calls me and she says, you know, when I close my eyes, I see darkness. I've had that experience only once in my life when I was possessed for a couple of seconds. And I saw blackness. When I closed my eyes, all of a sudden, all the little pixels, the little light that you see when you're looking at your eyelids, you've got to see something. But if you see black, that's not good. But I saw black, and when I saw the black, it was so black I've never seen anything on earth. And down the bottom of the black, a very, very dark hole, while I'm lying on the ground meditating, I sensed a thing waiting for me. I couldn't see it, but I could perceive it. And something said, "Oh God." I said, "Oh God." It disappeared. Never had it again. And so I told the lady about that. I said, you need to pray just a little bit for those pixels. Because they're not pixels, actually. There's light shining on your eyelids from within. That's it. The tendency is a tendency for you to run away into sleep. But don't go away, hold it. You're a very good, you're a very interesting person. Yes, my dear friends, this is very important to me and important to the people that follow after you get your share. After I have passed something on to you, you should pass it on to other people, not necessarily bring them attention to me, although it'll be good. But you need to be a living example of who I am. Not imitation of me, but what comes through me should be coming through you from the same place and giving you a special journey or a dream or a purpose. And you don't have any purpose if you're emotional, as I spoke about a few minutes ago. If you're upset all the time or angry all the time or from one to the other, you're dead. And you can't lie down. Or you're dead and you will lie down. Or you're dead, you make other people lie down. And then you lie and you make excuses. And you find that you other people, if you run out of excuses, people will come and rise you, tell you how wonderful you are and help you make you feel better than you are with a lot of lies. So you got friends. You've got fiends instead of friends. And that's what you mostly got, fiends instead of friends. But you don't see it because it feels good. It's nice to people like you, but you become a slave of that need to be liked. You have to pay for it in flesh and blood and soul and spirit. 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Call me 6 p.m. 6 p.m. in the evening till 9 p.m. That's the live part of the show. Then we have the refeeds, but may I suggest that you go to fhu.com and if you put a slash there and donate, then you can donate, monthly or, just forget it. Forget what you say, $20 a month or whatever it is, and just leave it alone forever. And that way I could look at my bank account and say, I can do this. I can get another station. I can help another veteran. See, it's not about money for me. I'm too old to be careful. I'm carefree of money. I have enough. I don't need a salary. See, I have some properties and I get an income from it. So why do I need it? All I do is pay a lot of taxes. Right? So I don't want to give Obama these taxes, so I just make sure I don't get a salary. It's simple. And besides, we need support. So another reason why we don't take a salary. But I'm okay. But the thing is, what I need is not just for me. I want it to be okay for the next person who can hear me. You see, if you don't appreciate and be grateful for the persons that you'll never meet, to allow you to hear me do what I did for them, and I say, forgive me how I say that. It's always through me, not from me, see? So, there's a certain sin to that. I think Sean could explain it better than I can. He's got the Bible verse and chapter. So let me listen, go to fhu.com. FHU, Foundation of Human Understanding.com. iPhone, what's the other one? The iPhone, Android, what do they call downloads? What do they call those things?
Here's the jingle in your pocket. Where's the jangle in your head? Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said?
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yeah, can you see why I like the lyrics of that program, that music? And it's done with such good passion. All right. So, Leah, how are we doing together? What are you going to take away from this discussion?
Well, what I'm taking away is that I have to continue to meditate.
That's right.
I can't give up. I can't give that's, up because I can't right. see the little sparkling light.
But it will work. Don't worry. It takes a little longer. That's all.
And it is helping me because I am getting calmer. Not calm fast enough, but it's coming slow.
Absolutely.
And Thank you.
When the pixels come, it will go like that. Okay? They'll come. They'll come because what's happening in that little tingling of your fingers is you're becoming aware of yourself. And instead of being lost in your thoughts, you are becoming aware that you exist with your eyes closed, and you'll be aware that you have a hand. And you're conscious of... You know, I have to tell you something strange. You may laugh about this, but let me make you laugh, if it makes you laugh. So I'm chewing I don't know what it was. It doesn't make a difference. An almond. And I'm chewing it. All of a sudden, I become aware that I'm chewing it. I said, how does this happen? This is, I suddenly become aware that I'm chewing this almond or whatever it is I eat, piece of meat, anything. And I'm aware of it. Say, this is rather interesting. My mouth knows what to do. You know, this is just, it is absolutely a blessed way of understanding. I can look at my hands and say, I don't understand a single cell. I don't know how when I cut it, the fire engine comes and all of a sudden it starts to heal. A crust grows over it and knows what to do. How on earth is all this possible? And my mind keeps expanding more and more and more. I get answers. It's always God. I get more and more enthusiastic, but not caught up in emotions, but appreciating the fact I'm alive and that I can actually be aware of myself. Is the animal doesn't know it exists. It has a soul, a doggy soul or a spider soul, but it doesn't have, it's not meant to serve God the way we are meant to serve God. We have a choice, but that choice is a absolutely marvelous thing with all the people born from Adam. Through one man's sin and death through sin spread the human race, and through one man it goes away. And that the thing is what people must understand. If you are be still, you will know what I'm saying is true. You'll know it without words, but I can put it into words, and then you will know it, because it's something that you still have that you lost when you were a little child. So in other words, you weren't sinful when you were corrupted as a child, when you saw your father walking around with nudity or having sex with some girl that's not your mother, woman's not your mother. When your father is mean and when your mother doesn't care, et cetera, et cetera. You see these things that it's not right. You want your parents to be princes and princesses, but instead you could you got two people that brought you into the world that don't know what the hell they're doing. Or they love you too much, or they hate you a lot and impatient with you. And so the tendency is you see it and you see what's wrong with it, but they don't see what's wrong with it, and you haven't got the strength to overcome it. And therefore it gets inside you and you start to get angry and you get disconnected. But the truth of the matter is that connection remains open. That remains open, unlike Adam. In other words, you've done a lot of wrong things, but it isn't you that did the wrong. It was sin that made a home in you and acted like it was you. And you take the blame of all that. And I'm trying, when you be still, you'll know that he is God, and you don't need to take the blame anymore. All you have to do is see that you're messed up, and you don't have to struggle with yourself, and you don't have to make excuses anymore. If you just look at the fault and then trace it back to the fact that your parents couldn't help themselves, and their great 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 grandfathers, and the great 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 all the way back, none of them, all children come into the world innocent, and there's a place inside you that still has a memory of it. And my job is to say, God is waiting. He waited for you to come to him, because he gave you before you were born. All you have to do is experience it. That's what the meditation is all about. Do you understand, Leah?
Yes, I understand. I understand very well. I appreciate you taking your time and explaining it to me, because nobody ever cared enough or knew enough. Like, you know, they didn't have the wisdom that you had, that God had imparted in you, to convey to other people who's lost like myself, because I am like walking in the dark.
Can you hold a second and let you finish?
Yes.
Can you hold a second? You're saying some very beautiful things. Thank you so much.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Now, go ahead, Leah, because you're saying something so beautiful. I was just taking that in because, you know, my life is dedicated to your life so that you can live like I live. I still have mine, but I've shared it with millions. And you can do your business by being like I am with other people. But it's the same God. So it isn't me, but I'm the vehicle that speaks. And so therefore I'm the obedient servant. And I get, see, you either take orders from the wicked world around you, or the redemption from that world becomes your master. And a good master it is. He gives you a purpose in life, especially for you, as it was especially for me. Okay, Leah? You want to say some more?
Well, what you were saying makes a lot of sense, like I said it just now, because my anger, the more angry I got during the course of my life,
yes,
the more mistakes I made and more corrupt looked like I came within myself.
That's right.
The angry I got, the more sins I committed.
That's correct.
And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and I felt like I was so out of control. So I did my conscience where I didn't even care. And I know I didn't want to get a reprobated mind. I kept hearing about your mind is reprobated. My family was saying, I was like, they even teased me and called me Linda Blair as an actress who played in The Exorcist.
Yes.
And I had all these labels stamped on me. I was like the wolf woman, you know, like,
yes,
fiction that goes off when the wolf, the full moon comes up, and they said, "Well, we know, you know, Liz, there must be the full moon."
I get it. That's the reinforcement of your programming. Every person is like your every person is like your parent, acts like your parent, and every circumstance. It is like if you have a picture, tyrannized countries where you have dictators, they have pictures on the wall everywhere you go, and that's to trigger a reaction of fear. And after a while, you don't notice it that you're reacting to it, but you'll get becoming more submissive just by that picture. See that?
Yes.
And so it multiplies just the very look at it. Just the person that looks like the dad that beat you is wearing the same belt. He may be a good guy, but the belt reinforces the anger, bang. And the person that never did anything to you is just wearing a belt that looks like your dad when he beat you with it. And this one's a good guy, but your father wasn't. See what I mean?
Yes.
And so what happens when you meditate, all that goes away. You're no longer subject to the hypnotic states of America. Follow that now?
Can I ask you one more question?
Absolutely.
When you start meditating, don't you have to meditate for the rest of your life? Because it's
No. Ask me that question. Roy Masters, do you meditate with your own meditation? And the answer is no.
Roy,
you know why? Would you like to know why? Because I'm in that state all the time. When you get to, Jesus was in that state all the time. You couldn't pull him out. You die trying. When you get to the point where people die trying, you are saving them or condemning them without a word to death. People who listen to Roy Masters are not listening to just an ordinary talk show host. I'm his emissary. I did not know that for a long time. I had a very difficulty to thinking that I was something special. I'm not something special because there are lots of people like me. but they don't know how to express it. They've got something, they don't know how to express it. The great men of old, they had this quality, but they didn't know how to share it. They could only share it, of course, with their brilliance, but they often persecuted for just for shining. And you might experience some hard times from people because you shine. You don't let it bother you, because what the meditation helps you to overcome the overcomer, and it makes you realize that you're standing in your father's shoes, and who was standing in his father's shoes, and all the way back to Paradise Lost, and now you realize that you never committed a sin in your whole life, but the thing that was inside you was doing it, and you took it to be you. And that's an interesting thing, that you would take the sin that it made through you, and you to accept it, which is dangerous, but it's really noble, because you're accepting the guilt, but you don't know how to fix it. But you don't need to accept the guilt anymore, because it's done its thing. Because, you see, you actually see the fact that you are wrong. But a lot of people do not see that they're wrong, will not see the wrong, and will hate you for you showing it. But you're not like that. You actually see your own faults. That's a light. Do you see that? Excuse me, I'm getting carried away here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because I'm getting carried away, but I don't want to get carried away either, because I'm already emotional, and I need to be like Spock on, I love Star Trek with Mr. Spock.
Yeah, that's the idea. He's the smart one, isn't he? He's the spiritual one.
He's so cool.
Yeah, that's right. So you need to be like him, and not like Mr. Spock, whatever his name is.
But no, before I hang up, I just wanted to thank you, because since I've been meditating, you made a point there. I have people staring at me when I'm out and about, and I'm like, I'm like, peripherally, I'm looking and I'm saying that that's rude.
No, they're actually seeing something different. They don't know what to make of it. God bless you. I got lots of callers. I like callers. 800-866-8883. God bless you. And we can take another call in a minute.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, we got Andrea, and Sean, we'll take you later on. You can wait. You don't mind. I gave you a whole hour yesterday. Andrea, go ahead. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Masters.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just doing wonderful. The more people call, the more I love it.
Right. Well, why do you think that children hate their parents?
Well, there are good parents, but and well-meaning parents, but well-meaning doesn't do it.
Right.
And so,
are you talking about during adolescence when their hormones are raging and their brain hasn't even formed yet?
Well, we're talking about way earlier than that, because I think you can agree with me that children are born innocent, correct?
Right.
And so therefore, if mother is too doting and too loving, she begins to spoil that child and thinking it's love. And
right.
the child becomes codependent from a very early age. And another kid comes into the world, and she's so focused on this new one, this other one, that the new one is denied the same attention as the one that has given itself to mother. And therefore, it's jealous. And then it's angry. Why does my mother love this person more than me? You can see this, but then he starts to get angry.
And this, are you the oldest child in your family?
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just making a point that it doesn't begin when you're 16 or 17. Your problem begins almost just the minute you have an the awareness that children have when they come into the world at a certain age, maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, they actually can see what's wrong with their parents, where the parents cannot see it themselves. They can see that the parent is impatient, but the reason why the parent is impatient because it's the opposite to patience, of course, diametrically opposite. But the reason why they are impatient because their parents drum that into them that they have to. That's the way they get trained, and eventually they accept it and become broken. Impatience is a destructive force. Average person thinks that impatience is correcting your children. It's corrupting your children. Everybody who's... Yes, we'll be right back.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever-spinning reel.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
And the program number is 8430. I think Andrea is asking me another question. How did you learn everything you know? Do I have a degree? No, I don't have a degree in physics, but I've written some very important physics papers, and I hope that it's far ahead, if you don't mind me saying so. Same with my work here. Far ahead of psychiatry and psychology and known knowledge in science.
Right. And a lot of wisdom.
Yes, but no, it's a gift. It's a gift. Don't you see? Okay. We all have gifts, but the gift is drummed out of us by emotions and overreacting to things.
But Christians, it says, honor thy father and mother. And you, I just don't feel like a Christian should be speaking about stuff like this.
Oh, I think
putting negative thoughts in people's minds.
Did I put a negative thought in your mind?
Yes.
Oh dear, I'm dear.
No, don't have an iPhone, but I have one for business. But my wife hates me. You're 88 years old. Maybe she has dementia. How do you know she hates me?
I know she does, and she's getting better. So that's the interesting thing. That's her own fault. It's not my fault.
How do you know?
But let me just answer the question. So I say to you,
what was my question?
Do you have a degree?
I don't. I'm just like you.
Then you don't have the moxie to ask me that. How would you know
that? You don't have a degree either. Why do you have the moxie to tell all of these individuals everything that you're saying?
Now, but you don't hear what I'm saying. I'll give you one more chance, and then I'll hang up on you because you're not willing to understand anything. You're just accusing.
Oh, I'm very willing.
Okay, but listen. So listen to what I'm saying.
Listen, none of my problems have anything to do with my mom and dad.
Let me say that maybe that's not true.
Okay.
It's always possible. But you're not asking the right question, so we better stay with this. So I say to you that the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil, and according to scriptures it's correct, is dangerous. That too much knowledge makes you stupid. And
nobody can make me stupid.
Well, no. Hey, you don't sound that smart right now, if you don't mind. We're not. All we can do is fight and argue. And so have your opinion that you can have what I have, an intuitive gift. Intuitive. It comes from within. The word education is edukere in Greek. It means to bring forth from within. Human beings don't need... None of my kids went to school, got a degree in college. I let them out early, and they're all in their own huge businesses. And if I left them in school, they'd be brainwashed. And I said to them, very carefully, especially to my daughter. I said, if you don't agree with the teacher and you see intuitively that what they're teaching you is wrong, better that you lose in school than you lose in life. See, if you buy it in school and you're brainwashed and it's not true what the teacher is teaching you, then you are broke. You're here to knock me down. I will not put up with that. Okay? And I've never done this for a long time. You're not here to talk to me and discuss it with me in a proper way. No matter what I say, you're going to find some way to yell back. Well, I'll yell back just as hard, but not with anger. That's the difference. So maybe that noise I just made will penetrate, and to penetrate through that thick skull of yours, that judgment thing. How do I know? How do I know? If I tell you how I knew it, and you don't know that, how can you know that I'm right? I actually had a very interesting experience when I was young. I was going to my Friday night Jewish Sunday school. And the rabbi was saying, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul, might, so and so on and so forth. And it comes to, you thou shall not steal. And it starts, thou shall not commit adultery, but I didn't know what that was because I was so young. Thou shall not kill. It's actually, thou shall not commit murder. That's not correct. So I said to the rabbi, I was 7 years old. I can remember that. He said, why are you telling me this? He said, he looks at me with a big face in my face, a big red nose from drinking too much. And he says, why do you have to tell me this? He said, because if I didn't tell you, you wouldn't know it. I said, but how do I know you're telling me the truth if I don't already know it? I already know it, thank you. And I never seen the man exploded. And I was as calm as a cucumber. That's because I didn't overreact to it, because I had a special gift from the very beginning. I had a good parent, which is rare. A good father, a really, really decent father that didn't coddle me, didn't over push me and over correct me. And I had a simple mom that loved my father a little bit too much, because she was kind of, weak. A little bit weak, not much, but jolly. But my brother didn't survive that, believe it or not. He didn't get the quality I got. And so, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, forget that lady. You are come into this world with that quality, and you lose it for a while. And then you hear a man like me saying, to hell with your education. It's sometimes valuable, but not until you're mature enough to appreciate what's being said. All right. Thank you very much for this very good hour. 800-866-8883. Can we do another hour like that? Hello, 866-8883, that's the number to call for the next hour. 800-877-3227 is the phone number for the office, and there's somebody till 11 o'clock this evening, West Coast time, will take your call. Go to my website, fhu.com, and if it's a slash, donate, you can donate on the and you can actually have those, what do you call it, apps for your iPhone and what's the other one? Android. I always forget Androids. And then you can listen to me, wherever you go. And remember the Sunday morning conversations